Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and so far in this series, I have had the privilege of paying virtual visits to schools in Australia and New Zealand to hear about their coaching journeys. With interest levels in coaching in education growing worldwide, this series endeavours to find out what happens after the coach training sessions finish and staff get back to school keen to share their new learning. To quote our founding director, John Campbell, this is where theory and good intentions meet reality. Now, for this particular episode, I'm joined by Mark Keenan, currently principal of Moratai Beach School in Auckland, New Zealand, a semi-rural primary school with around 400 students and 50 staff, and is located on the beautiful Pohutukawa coast. Mark has been principal of Moratai Beach School for the past 7 years, and in this time, the school has developed and implemented a school-wide coaching program for all teaching staff as part of the school professional learning and development program. And more recently, the school has implemented a student coaching program as well. Mark has been involved in coaching since 2007 across three different schools, and he is a firm believer that coaching has the power to enable organisations and the people in them to be the best they can be. Mark, it's a delight to have you join me on the podcast today.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mark, you were first introduced to coaching back in 2007-2008. At that initial stage, some 13, 14 years ago, who or what specifically got you interested in coaching?
I moved back from the UK at the end of 2004. And I got a job at a large inner city school here in Auckland. And looking back on it now, I can say it was a rather progressive school. And at that time, we had a principal, and her name was Rowan Higgy. And Rowan had a real passion for teacher, professional learning and development. And really, that stayed with me to this day. What she talked about was the greatest resource that we have is our teachers, and so this should be our greatest investment in terms of, you know, the time we spend, the money we spend, and the resourcing that goes into it. And early on in my teaching days there, coaching was introduced across the school. And for me, I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed discussing my practice with colleagues. I really enjoyed a solutions-focused approach that came with it. I enjoyed having a framework that I could work within, and the fact that it was evidence-based. I got to talk with colleagues that were outside of my teams that I probably usually wouldn't talk with, and I just felt like it was making me become a better teacher. During my time at Remuera Primary School, I moved into the senior leadership team. And it was a great team to be part of. So I was then exposed to running a school-wide coaching program. And with that came both challenges, but I found it really exciting. A few years later, we were involved in a contract. We got to work with several other schools in Auckland. And I was involved in working with them to introduce coaching into their schools. So I got to see firsthand how different schools introduced and worked with their staff, and I found it absolutely fascinating, and I really enjoyed working with the other schools. After that, I moved to another school closer to home. It was a large primary school, so it had around 900 students. And I was the deputy principal there and introduced coaching, but at a leadership level. It was really around empowering leaders to have the tools to engage in deep conversations around teaching and learning. And I really saw them grow. And I really enjoyed my time at the school and working with the school leaders and bringing about change. In 2015, as you said, I got the job at Moratai Beach School, where I find myself today as principal.
Fantastic. It's a great story. Going back, I mean, since 2004, I like the fact that you're talking about the best resource in the building being the teachers. I definitely would second that. And it's interesting when you talk about going through those different schools and seeing how different schools implement the same thing, but maybe even in slightly different ways. I think that's one of the qualities of this podcast series is we ask very similar questions but to different schools, and it's fascinating to see how different leaders introduce these things in different ways. Mark, as you say, more recently you've developed coaching in your current post at Maranatai Beach School, initially with your senior leaders and then branching out to include other staff. For those of our listeners who are considering implementing a coaching culture in their setting, can you share with them some of the initial challenges and barriers to look out for, and maybe some advice on how best to address these?
Yeah, so I joined Maranatai Beach School. It was a small school. We had just over 200 children, and like all schools, it had its challenges. And for me, it was all about developing a positive school culture, and that was extremely important. And I knew that coaching was a way in which we could do this. I really like the idea of being solutions focused. I think it empowers people, and I wanted to develop our staff to have the skills and the tools to have deep conversations around teaching and learning. So when I got there, I was really lucky. I had a great deputy principal, and we sat and we talked things through, and knew we had to be really strategic about where we were going. And so we actually sat down and we developed a 3-year plan. And so we worked out in 3 years' time, when we introduced coaching, where do we want to be? And from that, we just backward mapped it in terms of what we want it to look like. We made the strategic decision that we weren't going to go school-wide. We felt at the time that, just jumping in like that wasn't going to work for us. So we decided that we'll focus on our leadership team. So we spent time talking around the benefits of and what it would look like for us. We went on some formal coaching courses and then came back together and moved into a peer coaching program just in the leadership team. We created time for that to happen. So we dedicated meeting times for the coaching to occur. We spent a lot of time just building trust between one another. You know, I was a new principal, I was a new leadership team, and as you know, trust, I think, is the foundation of good coaching relationships. So just taking that time, and for me, that was something I always had in the back of my mind, that just to take time, that things will develop, and I wanted people to grow in their confidence. So we continually revisited the skills, so it wasn't just about going on a coaching course, coming back, right, you're a coach, away you go. So as a team, we continually came back and revisited the skills. And at that time, we were using the growth model. As leaders were partnered up and working together, we moved into triadics. So that way, coaches were able to be able to give and get feedback around how they were going. And also, as my team leaders moved out and led their teams in their team meetings, we would actually go in and observe them and give them feedback around that as well. And so some of the challenges with that initially early on was, A, getting people on board and having an understanding of where we want to go. And I think having that 3-year plan was really important so people could see the direction of where we wanted to go. And as the school was growing quickly, we also had new members joining into the leadership team. So recruitment became really important because we needed people joining our leadership team that were fully on board with where we wanted to go. And of course, the induction process as well became really important too. We actually sat with that for 2 years as a leadership group, and there was pressure at times for us to go a bit faster with people saying, come on, let's get this out school-wide, let's go, we're ready for this. But again, we went back to our 3-year plan and said, no, this is where we are, this is where we're tracking. So after 2 years, we joined Kahui Ako, and so that's a cluster of schools, and that gave us a lot of resourcing, and a focus was on developing coaching within those schools, something that I had done beforehand. So we were able to train further staff. We decided at that point, again, we're not going school-wide. We actually want to make this something that teachers want to be involved in. So it was an application process, and we were really deliberate around the people that we chose to come on board. So each of those, all of those people went out, they had their training, and then each of them was paired with one of the leaders in the school so that they were then supported and coached. And that happened for another year, working together, making sure they had developed the skills and the confidence in their own coaching ability before we went any further. And the challenge then became logistically almost running two PLD programs. So we had the some staff involved in a coaching program, and we had other staff that weren't involved but were looking in thinking, oh, this looks interesting. I wonder how I can get involved with this. So we just had to make sure that coaching didn't become an add-on. It wasn't something that this is an extra that you just have to do after 3 o'clock. So we actually built in time, and we actually released teachers to be able to come together and coach. We made sure that leaders were made available to be able to support them. We made sure there was time for them to develop their coaching skills, not just be involved in the coaching process. So we're now 3 years down the track. We're at the end of our three-year plan, and we decided to reset and go again. And we thought at the end of the third year, we're ready. We're going to go school-wide. Let's go. We had our leaders were trained, we had a number of teachers trained, and so we decided to introduce a formal coaching program across the school using the growth model. We were using a peer coaching program where we had the trained coaches working with the teachers, and we had goals that were set to our strategic plan, and people were going to be accountable for those. So we thought we'd ticked all the boxes, and it was all going to go really, really well, and we had our challenges to begin with, of course. So probably the main one that all schools will experience when they first go school-wide, I think, is just that resistance from some staff members. And resistance happens for a whole range of reasons, and that's okay. You know, it's the way in which you work through that. I suppose one of the hardest things that I saw was that I had trained coaches who were really enthusiastic. They could see the difference that this could make, and then they would come back from some coaching conversations and feel a little bit downtrodden, the fact that these other people weren't buying into the process, and, you know, what's going on and what do we do? And so for us, it was, again, it was slowing down. It was revisiting the why. It was going back into the reasons why we wanted to do this. It was talking through with the coaches, having times to come together to say, what difficulties are you having? How can we support you? If you were in this position, what might you do? And I think that was a really important aspect, that you've got to have that support in place for your coaches. But we also made it that we gave a lot of time. So in our staff meetings, we would come together and we would spend time practicing the skills. And that was really important for us as well. So we were learning together as a group. And we made an element of accountability in there as well, in terms of as people work through the coaching process, they would have to share the progress that they were making. And I thought that was an important element too. So you do work through it. It does take time. You can't rush the process. As I said previously, it's about trust and developing that trust. And without trust, you're never going to have a firm platform to work on. One of the things we did take from that is, I think you have to think very, very carefully and strategically in a peer coaching program of the people that you put together. Know your staff, and again, support your coaches. One of the other things we found is our school had by then doubled in size and school and student population. So that meant a lot of new staff coming on board. And so we made the decision that actually, as new staff came on board, and they came on board at different times during the year, they would not be involved in the coaching program. What we actually did is created a professional learning group, and I ran that. And the reason that I ran that is that I think as a leader, it's really important that you walk the talk, that you actually show that you're invested in the process, and it's not something that you think coaching is this great idea, but everyone else is going to do it, and I'm just going to sit and to watch and to make sure I manage that and have things in place. Actually, I wanted them to see that I'm fully invested in the process because I believed in that. So the new staff that came in, we worked together. We talked through what coaching looked like in our school, the reasons why we do it. We looked at the different skills that were involved. So our school-wide coaching program's been running for several years now. You know, be remiss of me not to say that the last 2 years has been challenging with what, you know, we are experiencing, and that has caused some disruption. But for us, it just means, hey, we just need to reset now and have a look and go forward into 2022.
Fantastic, Mark. And I've been scribbling down some notes here, and I could ask you about another 15 questions based on what you've said in the last 2 minutes. That's fantastic. I love this idea of a 3-year plan. And you mentioned on a number of occasions there about the whole idea of slowing down, and I think that's very, very important. You're going through the qualities of what a good coach would do in a coaching session, with a coachee, and you're actually working with your staff, and you're actually saying, this idea of slowing down, because as you say rightly so, there will be some genuinely enthusiastic people, and that's brilliant. But sometimes we need to apply the brakes as a leader, because we can see sort of down the line the sort of the problems that might arise. So that idea is fantastic. I'm right with you on the trust thing. And you're coming in as a new leader, you just can't build trust overnight. But the fact that you're picking out a small number of people within your leadership team and working with them alone and actually taking that amount of time, is just terrific. You mentioned the whole idea, and I haven't come across this before, Mark, the whole idea of an application process. Because normally when I ask the question, of challenges, yes, there are challenges from staff who just are resistant to change and resistant to new things. But you've actually run this process for a long enough period of time to create anticipation with other members of staff. And I love that phrase you used, looking in through the window, what's going on in there? I wonder, could I get, a piece of that? Could I get involved in that? So that was a lovely idea. And then, yes, I suppose one side of that is you said you're running two tiers of professional development at one time, which again, I suppose it's an added challenge to the leadership team, but you guys were obviously, more than fit for it. You had a lovely phrase in there called revisit the why, and you started at the very start with that. This idea of 3-year plan, why are we doing this and where do we want to be? And each time you come up with a problem, let's go back and revisit the why. Again, that very, very important. And I think that, yes, you're absolutely right when it comes to pairing folks in the staff. You need to be very, very careful as to who you pair. And I mean, amazing with your increase in numbers in schools, so student population increasing, and as a result, having to increase your staff. And again, I really like that idea where your new teachers are coming in, but there's not an assumption that they're going to start coaching straight away. That idea that you've set up a professional learning group to work with those people, it's just a fantastic idea. So a lot of terrific stuff for folks who are listening today, and a lot of takeaways. Mark, as you know, one way a good coach can assess positive impact is the changes they notice in staff behavior and attitudes and their general way of being. Can you share with us some of the positive changes or shifts you noticed as a result of developing a coaching culture at your school?
So when we moved into the school-wide program, I have to say I didn't see a lot to start with. I didn't. I think it was more the fact that people were just dipping their toes into coaching. But then I think staff really started to appreciate this wasn't about a facilitator coming into the school, telling them what they're doing wrong, and just expecting their change. It was actually about them looking at their own practice, identifying the changes they had to make, and talking about their own students. And I think they really appreciated that. I think with any professional learning and development, if teachers can see that it improves their practice and it can see it can they can see that it can improve the outcomes for their children, they're all in, boots and all. They could see that it was well resourced, they could see that the time and effort was going in from the leadership team, and most, not all, but most wanted to be part of that. And so the first change we started to see was the conversations within our team. So we have different teams within our school, and the conversations really started to shift to a focus on student learning. The conversations were evidence-based. The conversations became more solution-focused and about the teacher and what I can do to make the change. And there was far more opening up and sharing of expertise. And that's one of the things I think that teachers sometimes they don't do, and there's so much expertise within a staff room that you don't need to get in that outside person. It's actually sitting there already. You just need to open it up. People really started to talk about their practice, and for that, there's a vulnerability, isn't there? And what we had to keep coming back to is that making mistakes is okay. That's okay. It's going to happen. When you're trying a number of different things out in your classroom, you're trying to make changes to your practice, and maybe some things that you've done for a very long time, mistakes are going to be made. And so those levels of trust across the school, they really started to rise. And I think one of the important things was is that it was not hierarchical. It wasn't a senior leader or a team leader coming in. It was actually, two teachers across the hall from one another. And they started saying, can you come in and maybe observe part of my lesson? Or I might video part of this and bring it to a team meeting. And had that been something that I think had been top down, thou shalt do this, they might have done it. I don't know how much, they would have really looked at it. But because it was coming from them and it was a colleague, I think they were really invested in the process. And I also saw relationships grow. People were not, because we, with our program, you could be working from a teacher right across the school. Because as you know, the coaching is around the skills that you're using, not necessarily the knowledge that you hold in your head. So all of a sudden, we saw that people were sitting next to each other in the staff room that they might not have ever been sitting beside before, and people taking an interest in one another, and people hearing about this practice that was going on in the classroom going, that sounds really interesting. Do you mind if I come along and spend 10 minutes in your classroom? Or can I come along and just, have a quick chat to you about that? That sounds really, really interesting. And people actually became really excited around what they were doing and the changes they were making. And so much so that in the second year, we actually had to create a slot and time in our staff meetings where people could actually stand and share something that they were doing, or something that they had changed, or something that they had found success in. And that just seemed to permeate through the staff. So one thing I'd say is celebrate your successes. Hey, you're definitely going to have some fish hooks along the road, but celebrate your successes. It's really, really, really important. And I think from a leadership perspective, what I saw from my leaders was a shift from advice giving, where a person would come to them with a problem or a challenge and they would say, do this, try this. And they were actually now taking the time to question, to try to understand. And rather than solve the problem for the person, actually getting them to try and work up and come for some solutions for themselves. And I started to witness this in meetings and in conversations that I was hearing. And yes, it takes more time. The easiest thing to do is to tell, but actually the change will be far more substantial if you invest in the process. Shared responsibility across the school became far more evident. The fact that through teacher inquiries and through the coaching goals that they were working towards, a number of the findings we actually then used in our strategic planning. So the strategic plan for the school actually, everyone had ownership of it. It wasn't something that I created in my office and then gave to them at the start of the year. At our school, we have a whakatauki. It's a Māori proverb or a saying, and it's, hei waka eki noa, we're all in this together. And it's through the coaching program, we're really starting to see that happen and be created within the school.
Fantastic. It's interesting when you mentioned there, the first thing you talk about was conversations started to change, and the content of conversations and I suppose this idea of everything becoming more solution focused and teachers actually talking about learning outcomes, which must be fantastic, from a leader's point of view. I agree with you completely, Mark. The whole idea of expertise that's already there in your staff room, there's always a lot which quite often is untapped. So through the coaching process, it's just terrific that people start to actually share this expertise and realize, yes, you don't have to go on 20 courses a term. There's a lot of expertise literally across the corridor in your own school. And yes, you mentioned again, relationships, improving. Isn't it fascinating, that colleagues who wouldn't normally be sitting beside each other sitting for the first time having professional conversations. It must be fantastic to watch from a leader's point of view. I absolutely love the fact that you had to create time in your staff meetings for folks to celebrate success. I mean, that's what we do in lessons with the pupils. We're getting them to celebrate success. And I think, to be honest with you, one of the most important things to me that you've mentioned is that permission to make mistakes. I know as a teacher, you know, I'm always telling my pupils it's okay to make mistakes. That is how we learn. And I think from a leader's point of view, when you're implementing something as significant as coaching, to give them the space to make mistakes is just fantastic. Mark, since 2019, you've been running a student coaching program. And this is something that I know many of our listeners are keen to hear more about. Can you give us an overview of the ups and downs of introducing coaching to your students?
So we had started embedding our school-wide teacher program, and at the time my deputy principal was researching around student coaching and how that could improve outcomes for our learners. And so the first thing that I was lucky is I had someone who was passionate about it, and I think that's key, to have someone with a passion that wants to drive it. And so after his research, he went out and he did the formal training course for student coaching, and then came back and we started to formulate a plan around what that would look like. And we were also really lucky that a number of Auckland schools had already implemented student coaching programs, so we could talk to them as well, and it was great to hear from them about what worked well and perhaps what they would change if they had to do it all again. And so then we decided to give it a go. So for the first year that we did it, we chose our school leaders. So these are children who are leaders in our school, and they're 12, 13 years old. Most of them are in their final year at the school. And we had an academic coaching focus where they learnt the skills of coaching, and then they came together and they coached each other on a learning goal that they had, and that learning goal could change throughout the year. One of the first challenges was time. They were obviously coming out of class, so we had to just make sure that the timetabling was correct. We had to, it's not a challenge, but we just had to ensure that parents were well communicated to. So, you know, what's the reason your child's coming out of the class and being involved in this program? And to them, coaching was something that happened on a sports field. Wasn't something that happened in the classroom. So it was even that education to parents around what is this and why are we doing it? One of the other challenges we had to work through is just how we were going to evaluate the impact. So the board were investing a lot of money. We were investing a lot of time and a lot of resource. Through our teacher coaching program, we used a rubric to evaluate. We used surveys. We also had regular feedback sessions from our coaches and our coaches. And we actually thought, why can't we just take what we're using there and put it into our with our students? And that's what we did. Probably one of the most powerful moments through that first year of the program is the students came to a board meeting, and they actually stood up and shared around the difference that it would make. And I was thinking that they would be talking about academic outcomes, and that wasn't it at all. They actually talked about how coaching had now given them the confidence to actually stand like they were there and be able to have conversations with adults, to be able to ask questions, to be able to listen, just to have look people in the eye. And we're talking about 12, 13-year-old boys who would usually shuffle and grunt along. So for me, it was, you know, in our New Zealand curriculum, we talk about lifelong learning. And that's for me, that's what it was. We're actually equipping these children to go off to high school with these real skills that will stick for them for life. So that was great, and it was great for the board to actually see that as well. The following year, we actually opened it up. You could apply, and children were selected. What we found, though, and this was a real challenge, is that because it was our year eight children, they then went off to college. So all of a sudden, we had to start fresh again. So we then had to think about, okay, we really need to take a good intake of year sevens. A number of schools do the year sixes, so we're talking about 10-year-olds and up. So that they, in that second year, we already had that trained group who could work with that other group. Something else that was introduced is, instead of coaching one another, they actually went out and they worked with a target group of learners, so younger students, around a learning goal. And that was actually a really powerful process. And younger children really listened to the older ones. And the older ones took it very, very seriously. And I can actually see that something to build on in our school. We call it Tuakanatena, working together. That's something that we want to continue to develop. So we got to the end of that year, and my deputy principal decided that he would go and be a principal, and he got a job. And I suddenly realised that I'd put all my eggs in one basket, and all the knowledge went with him. So one of my learning strategies was, we've always got to have two. My new deputy principal came in and he's picked it up, and it's fantastic. But going forward, wherever there's anything, I'm definitely going to have two people. This year we've tried something a little bit different, whereas he ran it outside of curriculum time, and that didn't work well for various reasons. Students weren't turning up, so we had to go back into curriculum time, and we actually condensed the training as well, so they'd have more time for the coaching, not just the skills. So I suppose some of my biggest learning is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure there's a number of people trained, so that if someone leaves, it can carry on and be sustainable. Think carefully about the year group that you're using. As we found out in that first year, they all left, and all of a sudden we were starting again. And also thinking about the ways in which you're going to evaluate it, so that you can really you can show that this is actually making a difference for the investment that you're putting in, and that'll go with your staff coaching program too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of those things in there, Mark, genuinely really, really helpful for those folks who are listening and contemplating moving from the staff coaching into the student coaching realm. And I think, yes, the time challenge has definitely got to be one of them. Obviously, kids coming out of class. One thing I hadn't thought of, which has been really useful, Mark, you mentioned, was educating parents. My initial thought was, you know, teachers maybe disgruntled with pupils coming in out of class, but obviously, yes, it's important to actually think they're going to be talking when they get home, what they've been doing, or have been out of class doing some coaching. And yes, it's really, really important to explain to parents what exactly is happening. So that's definitely one that'll be really useful to our listeners. And again, yes, evaluating the impact is hugely important. But what a fantastic evaluation or evidence of impact with your students actually at a board meeting. I mean, that's just tremendous. And not even just sitting there doing the token gesture of visit, but actually, you know, genuinely holding their own in conversation, which you just you can't fake that. You know, that's genuine. As you say, these are skills for life that you're giving your kids. And I had to smile when you talked about your deputy head had to go and become a principal elsewhere, which we do like to encourage professional development, but as you say, they can bring the knowledge straight out the door into the car and up the road with them. So that was something to think about as well. So that's going to be hugely useful for I know a lot of leaders who are listening at the moment. Mark, I've asked this final question in previous podcast episodes, which reflects how important I feel it really is. What advice would you give our listeners who are at the curious stage with regard to introducing coaching in their schools? So looking back at your journey and what you know now, what are the most useful first steps that they could take?
First of all, I'd say well done for being curious. You know, I truly believe in coaching, and that can bring about positive change both for your staff and your students within the school environment. I think first of all, do your research, visit some other schools if you know they have coaching programs running, involve others in the process alongside you, so that it's not just you. I think that's really important. You need people around you to bounce those ideas off. There's lots of reading out there. You might even listen to a podcast. So, you know, and introduce it to your team, and I think have that research base first of all. The second thing I think is be clear on your why. I talked about that earlier. So what is it that you want to achieve? Why coaching? Why do you want to bring that into your school? You know, it is a huge investment in terms of, you know, your time and money and resourcing. So what is it that you want to achieve? How are you going to evaluate it? And for me, I come back to that 3-year plan. I found that really useful, that I knew where we were going. It wasn't just me. The leadership team knew where we were going. And we could continually come back to that plan to say, where are we at? How are we going? What do we need to do differently? I would also say start small. I think take your time. For me, I chose my leadership team. It might be different for other people in other school, but it takes time to become a really good coach. It's not something you can go out and just do your 2-day course and come back in and be right, go ahead and go coach. You have to create that time and that space for them to coach, to revisit the skills of coaching, to evaluate how they are going, however way you in which you choose to do that. And I did find that application process that you talked about earlier, once we went out a bit further, was great, because it meant the people that were involved really wanted to be involved. So you weren't dealing with that resistance that you were later on. I think as a leader, be involved. I think you have to walk the talk. I think if you're going to bring in anything in your school to implement it, you have to be in boots and all. They have to see that you're invested in the process, and grow your own coaching skills. Make sure that, you know, you're doing that on a daily basis, and model it to others. Model it whenever you're in front of staff. Model it when you're taking media. Model it when you're having a one-on-one conversation. You know, people come around and go, oh, gosh, was I just in a coaching conversation? He's done it again. So yeah, model it. Model it on a daily basis. And I think finally, just have fun. Celebrate your successes. It's really important. Whenever you're introducing anything new in a school, there's going to be bumps along the road, and that's okay. You know, these things happen, but yeah, make sure you celebrate the successes with your staff and just enjoy the journey.
Yeah, terrific. A lot of really, really practical and useful and just genuinely helpful advice there, Mark, for our listeners. Mark, thank you so much for sharing both your own coaching journey as well as the coaching journey at Moratai Beach School. It has certainly been a great example of what happens when theory and good intentions meet reality. Can I wish you, your staff and pupils continued success as you embed this coaching culture and, in your own words, continue to enable everyone in your school community to be the best they can be. For our listeners, I'm sure that you will have been inspired by the coaching story at Moratai Beach School, and if you are keen to find out more, have a look at the GCI website at growthcoaching.com.au, where you will find a host of valuable resources as well as information and advice on how to move coaching forward in your organisation. I trust you will all join me again soon on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.